Hi, I'm Kevin Kloss.
And I'm Joe Lee, and here's what's happening in the 315.
Today we welcome a visit from notable singer, songwriter, and musician Joanne Shenandoah.
Artist, composer, educator, actor, lecturer, Grammy winner, and the list goes on. Dr. Joanne Shenandoah has been a treasure in the 315 for decades, and today she joins us to talk about a new project. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having us on WAER.
It's been a while since you've been here, and we're just thrilled to have you here, and you have your entourage. Why don't you make some introductions?
Yes, thanks, Joe. This is Rebecca Preston-Mosby, a dear friend of mine who's also was Grammy nominated as well. She is did an interview with me on NPR quite a few years ago on my first Grammy nomination. This is my sister Diane. She's here supporting the cause because we get a chance to perform and sing all over the world. So we're very, very fortunate to here in the studio with you telling you about our new project.
It's very interesting. I'm sure the tease probably led people to believe maybe it's a new album or something, but it's not. It's something very interesting. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's actually three albums of the life of Mary Jemison. She was only 12 years old when she was captured in what was more known as the Pennsylvania region, but she was brought up through New York, adopted by the Seneca Nation. And she was very much loved there. She had eight children. She was someone who left thousands of descendants here in New York. So it's a fascinating and compelling story, and one that I narrate. So it's my first audio book, along with the help of my co-producer here, Rebecca Preston-Mosby.
And it's written by who?
It's told in the voice of Mary Jemison, and she told her story when she was 80 years old to a minister and an amateur historian named James E. Seaver. He put it down and titled the book A Narrative of the Life of Mrs. Mary Jemison, which is the title of our book on tape. The book doesn't have every word that's in his account because he, being an amateur historian, heavily, heavily footnoted the book, and we just left that be. And he had a very long introduction, which I boiled down to a few pages to introduce you to the character and set up the story, which begins just before the French and Indian War in the mid-18th century and goes through the French and Indian War, through the Revolutionary War, and on into the 19th century because she lived to be quite old.
Joanne, tell me the story about how this project came to you.
Well, I would have to say that my husband and I, along with Rebecca, we were thinking of a project because Rebecca and I go back a long ways, and we were talking about a potential audiobook, and Rebecca has, you know, expertise in that area. So Doug brought up the idea, hey, why not the story of Mary Jemison? She, you know, was from Central New York. She's a compelling story. People really need to know about her story. If you go to Letchworth Park, it's so absolutely beautiful, and there's a statue of her there. So, I mean, I think a lot of people across this region aren't aware of the intense history that we have, not only during a time that marks women's rights, because we've seen that all over the world, but she forged a path here in Iroquois territory at a time when women did not particularly have rights, but she negotiated on her own behalf in many of the instances. And so she was very, I think, intrigued by the life of Native women, and also the fact that they were the ones who would choose the chiefs. They took them out of office, the ones who decided whether or not we went to war. Our women knew freedom. They knew their rights. They knew their place upon the earth, and they were very much responsible for the political, social, and spiritual welfare of the people. So it was a powerful time, and a transition, a very dear and intense one, took place that formed what we know today as this, you know, if you just go down the thruway, you can see the intense history. And so this is very exciting because it comes at a time where women all over the world are exercising their rights and talking about their rights. And where did women's rights come from, so to speak? You know, it was foreign to women to vote, for example, when in Iroquois territory, it was the women who would choose the actual leaders. You know, I'm very excited to be part of this project. It's going to be probably heard all over the world in that we will have it available on iTunes and Amazon and CD Baby on my website as well. People can go to joanneshenandoah.com and check it out. But people have always told me that my voice is soothing. They like the stories that I tell. And some people actually say that I sing while I talk, right? I learned from Seth Riggs. He does speech-level singing, and it's called Singing Among the Stars or something like that. And he talks about how our speaking voice should be like our singing voice, that it's not strained, that people want to hear the words, they want to hear the tone, the texture, and the vibration of the story behind what you're going to say, whether or not they will listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's very, very clear. It comes across because she has a difficult life. And so at times it was a little hard for me to actually vocalize that, because I'm thinking, wow, this poor young girl, she went through a lot, but she was embraced mm-hmm. by the Seneca. She was loved and she was cared for. And when she had the chance to leave the Seneca people, she decided not to. She was going to stay among the Senecas.
Some of the war scenes are pretty gruesome and pretty difficult. And I know Joanne had a difficult time. And that was the one edit we did make, because there was really a lot of gory stuff. And there's gory stuff here. Don't get me wrong. We didn't get rid of it all. But it's really a sort of action-packed narrative. She had a really fascinating life.
Loni gulung sung se hayan watha neji yo na heyo sagoyo aguha.
You're so well known for what you've done musically. Do you think that sort of your past experience as a performer set you up for this kind of a project? Did you find like it was an easy transition, or were there some things that were really challenging?
Well, I've done a lot of narration for film, so that part of it was easy. I think the hard part of this for me was actually retelling a story from someone else's perspective, but in such a tumultuous time. So I find while I'm reading and listening and going through her life, imagining what she was experiencing and feeling, I was thinking, wow, isn't it beautiful that through all of her life, all she really revered was her children, her family, her community, but she loved the land. The land to her was everything. And that speaks to me very intensely, because obviously that's, you know, where I come from. It's all environmentally based, a lot of the work that I do. And she was left as an old woman with like 4,000 acres. So that's a lot of land to take care of when you're thinking, you know, she's working the fields.
Who were you when you approached the performance? Were you the actress, the songwriter, the storyteller, the musician? What part of you, I think, contributed more to your performance on here?
I imagined myself following along her path, kind of listening to her story, imagining being by her side when she was experiencing certain things, how things that had happened to her, how it came alive to me. And that's how I had to read it, because, you know, it's first voice for her. That's her. But at the same token, I'm thinking I'm there and I'm witnessing. I'm the witness. There's a beautiful painting done by Robert Griffing, if anyone looks up his work.
He did the cover work.
But his work is just incredible. And he captured the cover as someone who was there. You know, and I think that spoke to me, like, right off the bat, before I even had a chance to think, how am I going to read this? You know, do I want to sound? How do I want to sound? Mm-hmm. And I want people to recognize my voice as they've heard it before. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, I wanted that warmth, that kindness, that caring, the pain, the suffering, all those things that she was feeling. I wanted to be there with her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and see how it felt to be so loved by a group of people who may have been so painted a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that Robert Griffin does that eloquently. He paints scenes that makes you feel like you're there in the comfort zone of Mary Jemison as she's being cared for by the Seneca.
I'm very intrigued, and I think we've chatted about this enough. Let's get a little sample of it. What would you recommend we listen to start, to get a really good idea of your performance and what the story's about?
The CDs are accompanied with original music that Joanne wrote and performed. So I think maybe if we can get the last, probably 20 seconds or so of the first track, just at the end of my voice, and then you'll get a little music bridge that leads you into the second track, which is the first chapter of the book.
She walks with a quick step without a staff, and I was informed by Mr. Clute that she could yet cross a stream on a log or pole as steadily as any other person. Her passions are easily excited. At a number of periods in her narration, tears trickled down her grief-worn cheek, and at the same time, a rising sigh would stop her utterance. And now, a narrative of the life of Mrs. Mary Jemison, read by Joanne Shenandoah, Oneida.
Chapter 1. On account of the great length of time that has elapsed since I was separated from my parents and friends, and having heard the story of their nativity only in the days of my childhood, I'm not able to state positively which of the two countries, Ireland or Scotland, was the land of my parents' birth and education. It, however, is my impression that they were born and brought up in Ireland. My father's name was Thomas Jemison, and my mother's before her marriage with him was Jane Irwin. Their affection for each other was mutual, and that of a happy kind which tends directly to sweeten the cup of life, to render connubial sorrows lighter, to assuage every discontentment, and to promote not only their own comfort, but that of all who come within the circle of their acquaintance. Of their happiness I recollect to have heard them speak, and the remembrance I yet retain of their mildness and perfect agreement in the government of their children, together with the mutual attention to our common education, manners, religious instruction, and wants, renders it a fact in my mind that they were ornaments to the married state, and examples of connubial love worthy of imitation. After my remembrance, they were strict observers of religious duties, for it was the daily practice of my father, morning and evening.
That is really, really nice. Now, I don't want to put too much of my personal business out there. I like to listen to audiobooks in a bubble bath. And this has bubble bath written all over it. I mean, it is with the music, you're right, with the music, it's very soothing. When we get to some of the sort of more violent scenes that you described, is there music to match that or no music? Or how do you approach some of the more energetic, violent scenes?
We had various tracks. They're sort of more ominous music, like rattles.
Yeah, and I played the drum, okay, for example. You know.
So there's sound under all of
no,
the narration?
No, okay. No. It just comes in here and there. In fact,
okay.
I'm thinking about remixing it and putting more in.
It is really. You know, you don't want to put. You certainly don't want to put people to sleep. But it's so. You're right. Your voice is incredibly soothing. Just from that little bit, it's a fantastic performance, and that is fantastic.
Despite my lack of bubble bath consumption, just in that small piece there, though, I can just feel like I'm going on a journey just at the very beginning there. What's it like for you, who has obvious passion behind this project and all the time you put into it, to now you sort of hear that journey come alive? What's that like for you?
I always feel like I could do it better. But now that I've lived with it, you know, or now that I hear it again, the sentences are long, so it really forces you to pay attention. And that's something that we have a hard time doing in this society, you know, your phone, your this, your that. But, you know, isn't that kind of what meditation is? Mm-hmm. Because I'm one of these people who love meditation. So I like to say that I'm committed to doing this or doing that. And that's one thing I love about this particular project is when you start listening, you don't want to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's puts you in that zone of really learning and listening. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah.
Here's where I think our WAR listeners will really appreciate this, because we know from studies that many of our listeners are lifelong learners. And this is a woman in a story that I had no knowledge of.
Same here.
This will be very educational for me to listen to and read about. So thank you for giving life to this project. But I think our listeners are going to find this, you know, extremely interesting and informative.
What do you hope to accomplish by sharing this story?
I think by sharing this story, it illustrates a compelling time in our history, part of our history that's not been shared. And further, it will help to join, I think, forces of those who remained after Mary Jemison. We've got many generations in between us now, seven generations, and that's seven generations of people who are actually related to her. So you think about it in those terms, we don't have that many stories that we can point to and say, hey, look, this happened right here. And this is something that comes alive now because we can be part of it and we can make that journey to Letchworth Park. We can, you know, go down the thruway. We know people who are named Jemison, people who are directly affected. So I think it's important to know where we came from and also where we are so that we can share a mutual history of America.
Yeah, we have history here, and I'm so glad that you guys are bringing it to life. Is there any way we can squeeze a song out of you?
My sister Diane came with me, so I think it's appropriate to sing a woman's song.
Fantastic. All right. Go for it.
When yo ho way yo, hi na yo way ho, howi ne ya. Away na ya ho way yo, hi na yo yo way ne, howi ne ga na ya he ya. When yo ho way yo, hi na yo way ho, howi ne he ya. Away na ya away yo, hi na yo yo way ne, howi ne ga na ya he ya. Yo ho.
Little more up tempo.
Fantastic. Remind folks when it's available and how do you get it?
People can go on Amazon, my website, joannshenandoah.com, CD Baby, iTunes. It's going to be available online as a download as well as the CD itself. And it's called A Narrative of the Life of Mrs. Mary Jemison.
It's gonna love always.
Before we wrap things up today, we did want to acknowledge that for some time now, Joanne has been dealing with some severe health issues. Not too long ago, she played a benefit show here in Syracuse to raise money for her continued medical expenses. If you guys want to find out more about her ongoing medical expenses, you can visit GoFundMe.com/JoanneShenandoah.
And that's going to do it for another look at the 315. You can connect with us on Facebook at the 315CNY, where you can also suggest a topic, and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.
And if you do subscribe through Apple Podcasts, you can help us get the show in front of more Central New York residents simply by taking the time to rate and review the podcast. We really appreciate the help. I'm Kevin Kloss.
And I'm Joe Lee. Until next time.
Yo ho, yo ho, hey ya, you are nande ho, ho ya wane ho, hi na, yo wane ho, howi na, gai na we ya he ya. Yo ho ho, gayo, hey ya, you are nande ho, ho ya wane ho, hi na, yo wane ho. Howie, howie, na, guy, now we are here.